This time on Slaughterhouse Princess, Near Dark, Pray for Daylight.
The sun's getting real low, buddy.
Welcome to Slaughterhouse Princess. I'm Chris.
And I'm Troy. And there's no Horse Santa, nor bad Kermit the Frog impressions, nor extra people. This is the bare bones episode after the, this is like the bottle episode that we had to make to pay for the extravaganza we had last episode.
Yeah, we had to really cut down on sets.
Yeah. And we had to reduce the budget. It's a clip show, folks.
Yeah.
I want Chris to do a clip show for us now.
That sounds like work, so probably not.
We'll get Horse Lanta to threaten to dox himself and you and me 17 times an episode until you agree to do it.
Yeah, my likelihood of having that threatened against me has increased exponentially.
Well, I mean, Horse Lanta is the threat. I wouldn't dox you, Chris. I'm not a jerk.
To be fair, he at least doxed himself last time.
Yeah, a whole lot. Yeah.
Repeatedly.
I love how you tried to convince me to shock myself with that fucking lighter thing. And I was like, no, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
But yeah, folks, if you have not listened to the Basket Case episode, it is an experience.
Very high energy.
Yeah, yeah. We had We were all over the place on that one. But it was still an enjoyable movie. I think we all gave it a thumbs up. So watch it, because you're not having any idea what goes on in that movie by listening to our episode.
That's true.
But you will find out that I have strong feelings about the pronunciation of the Stone of Scoon.
I'll leave it to you to decide where the boop goes.
Yeah, yeah. On the boob, we learned from the movie. Right on the nip.
It's an exercise for the reader.
Yeah. So, Chris, how does this movie start?
Nighttime.
Really?
And I think they're like in Oklahoma or some shit.
It is bumfuck Oklahoma.
And some kind of cowpoke.
Mm-hmm.
Heads up to the local ice cream gas station? I don't know where the fuck he is.
He was at the gas station / convenience store, but then, and he met up with his buddies there, and they were shooting the shit in their shit kickers. And then a presumably attractive woman walked out of the ice cream store with her ice cream cone.
That's a very non-committal description.
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. He found her attractive. That's all that matters.
That's true. The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah. And he's like, well, and by he, we mean Nathan Petrelli, who does not fly during this movie, which is sad, decides he's going to go talk to her and charm her with his charm.
Yeah. Or what passes for charm in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma in 1987.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, she's lucky he didn't pull a gun on her and rape her.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, it's the 80s and it's Oklahoma. Like, I mean, that's two strikes right there.
It's true. And he correctly assumes that she's not from around those parts.
No, and she's very, like, Drusilla from, like, Buffy. Like, she's operating on a different plane of existence from everyone else. Like, she has a very fae quality to her.
Yeah. And she asks for a lift to where her people are, her friends.
Which is what, yeah, doesn't she say it's like a trailer park or something?
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, sure, I'll give you a ride there. And then he tries to chatter up the entire time on the way there.
Yeah. They have a conversation where she makes allusions to, like, living forever. Something about the stars or something.
Yeah, like, yeah. Basically implying that she loves listening to the night. Like, the night is very loud. And now she's been around, yeah, gonna live forever and yada, yada, yada. Because she's a vampire.
Yeah, it's real subtle.
Yeah. They never use that word in the movie, though.
That is true.
It is true. At least according to IMDb, that's true. And, you know, it's on the internet, so it has to be true.
Nothing fake is on the internet.
No.
It was fact-checked.
Sometimes people have installed mods on the internet to make things, you know, not what they appear to be, but...
It's a psyop.
Yeah.
They stopped to look at a horse?
Yeah, why not? Ladies like horses.
But the horse gets real mad.
But it's his horse, so he wants to show her his horse. But the horse freaks out near her because she is a predator and horses are technically prey animals. Although if you can successfully like hunt a horse, more power to you as a predator. They're fast. You don't want them to kick you. They're big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, then, they're technically prey animals. I don't think they're commonly prey animals. Unless, like, a pack of wolves or something takes one down.
Yeah, they got big smash feet. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, yeah. Those four-legged hardfoots are not something you want coming at you.
So, after the horse reveal doesn't go as he had hoped.
Wait. Horse Lando's there?
Yeah.
With you right now?
No, I mean in spirit. Oh. And by spirit, I mean trauma.
Oh, I thought there was I thought you said there was a horse reveal, though. Very confused now.
I'm sorry. No. Maybe it was him.
You showed me your horse while I was there.
Maybe.
His name was Horse Lanta.
Yeah. I don't claim ownership.
That's safe, Rez. Legally speaking, it's better to not claim ownership of him because then you're responsible for his actions.
Yeah.
Legally.
He's legally distinct entity for me.
Yes. So
they leave
the horse freaks town. Out and she's like, why don't we just go back to where I want to go because it's getting real late and I'd like to get there before morning because I turn into a pumpkin or something.
Yeah. And they take a quick time out for some necking.
Yeah. And by necking, you literally mean biting someone's neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's bamped out.
This is not 1950s necking. This is 1980s gnawing on someone's neck because you're a vampire.
Yeah. So she gives him the bite and runs off.
He tries to chase her?
He tries to start the truck to go after her, but the truck won't start.
Right.
So he heads home.
Through the fields.
Yeah.
The very dry fields. We know I have feelings about fields. Presumably this was winter in Oklahoma.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
I know nothing about Oklahoma. I know
there was nothing growing in those fields. Let me just state that.
He's
kicking up like dirt with his feet, but also he's smoking by the end of it a little bit.
Yeah, and he's not looking well.
No. Stumbles home. I think his sister sees him.
Yeah. And then an RV out of nowhere shows up.
Fucking like throws a cloth bag over his head and hauls him away. Like he gets fucking like frat boy hazing stolen in front of them.
Yeah. And we meet up with a ragtag group.
Yep. We have Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
We have Duke.
Okay.
The fuck was, what was Bill Paxton's character's name and Aliens? Why do I not remember? It wasn't Michael Biehn's character, so Aliens. Bill Paxton, Burke. We have a weird, like, 12-year-old vampire boy. I'm sorry, vampire boy. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else?
No. Well, and love interest and protagonist.
Yeah, we're not introduced to them because we already knew them.
And they don't seem real happy about having to snag a protagonist.
No, it's more like they are cleaning up her mess is what it feels like.
Yeah, but she lets them know, you know, hey guys, it's all good. I made him a vampire. That was probably a good idea, right?
Yeah, why not?
They're not happy about that, though.
No, not in the least, which is fair. They shouldn't be. Because this movie definitely subscribes to the whole, like, if you bite someone and don't drain them of blood completely and kill them, they will rise as a vampire.
Yeah. So they head to different place. And then they all.
I do love that the RV though is like all the windows are fucking like covered except for like a little slit for them to see through and through the windshield. Like there's like fucking cardboard and board and tinfoil on every other window. It's like my brother when he would visit our house, and because he can only sleep like in pitch blackness apparently, so like he would find ways to cover up the windows with whatever he could find so he could sleep.
Like you do.
Yeah. I mean, at least it was only at night, so I don't think he was a vampire, but it was still weird.
Remains to be seen.
I mean, I see him during in the sun occasionally, so.
Maybe he's a daywalker.
He might be. Yeah. Well, no, my mom was not bit by a vampire while pregnant with him.
Making a lot of assumptions right now.
Well, I mean, my mom's not a vampire because I also see her in this daylight.
Well, yeah, she can't be a vampire. Then you wouldn't have the damn Peel aspect of it all.
I'm just saying I don't think my family conforms to the Blade mythology.
I was thinking Vampire Hunter D, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. No.
They also don't conform to that unless they fought werewolves. Have they fought werewolves?
Not that I'm aware of. That's the best I can phrase it as.
Okay. No snake woman?
Don't think so.
All right.
I've not heard any stories about it.
Maybe they just want to spare you.
It's possible. I don't know why, though. I figured they'd be like, that sounds like something he'd be really into. We should tell him that kind of stuff.
I would be into it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, snake woman.
Vampires? Fuck yeah.
So they all split anyway. Up and head off into the night to do vampire shit.
Vampire.
Protagonist is like, yeah, this has been fun. You know, the whole abduction and threatening to kill me. And then like, you're talking all this weird shit about turning me. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to dip out of here.
Yeah, like, I want to be back at my house with my family because I like my family. Thanks.
Yeah.
Peace and out.
Meanwhile, back in Oklahoma, dad and sister are like looking for him. They're driving around.
Yeah. Like they watched him get kidnapped and they're like, maybe we should try to find the people who kidnapped our son. Like our son / brother.
Yeah. The local cops are no help. Go figure.
Yeah, shocking.
And protagonist heads to the local bus station to get a ride.
Because they drop him off like somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to take the bus home. And he looks like a junkie.
Yeah, he looks real bad.
Yeah, he's like, you know, sallow, sweating, fidgety. He's like, and he needs like, what, $4 more to get to pay for his bus ticket home? Like he's got like 26 and needs 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, do you got like $4? Because I could like really use $4 right now.
I really need to take this bus.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can ride the dragon, not the bus, I think.
Yeah. Some cop stops him on account of he looks like shit and also is covered in blood.
Yeah. But the cop gives him the money for some goddamn reason.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the cop to like ask for some kind of favor for the $4, but he did not.
I think he was just trying to get him the fuck out of there.
Probably. Like, it's easier to not arrest him if you just give him $4.
Yeah, $4, and then I don't have to fill out all the paperwork. Hell yeah.
Exactly.
So he gets the bus, heads out of town, becomes super sick on the bus, gets off the bus.
Yeah, because he ain't been eating. He tries to eat from the vending machine, but the food he eats just comes right back up.
Yeah. And
because he's a vampire.
And once he gets off the bus, love interest shows up and she's all like, hey, have some of my blood. It'll sustain you in the interim.
Yeah. And he's like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted.
And she tries to like, let him know like, hey dude, you're going to have to like hunt people,
kill somebody
and stuff.
Yeah. You're going to have to drink blood from people, but you can't let them live or else they become vampires. And so you have to kill them when you drain them.
Yeah.
And then we also treat it to like a series of vignettes of the various other vampires hunting, like the 12-year, the vampire trapped in a 12-year-old body, you know, all the, what, Claudia from Interview with the Vampire?
Yes.
He pretends like a car hit him while he was riding his bike, and so when people come to check on him, he just like latches onto their necks and drains them of blood. Bishop and Vasquez, Bishop like gets in a, like he's hitchhiking and like gets picked up by two ladies, and then I think Vasquez joins him, and they pick up two hitchhikers. Or they pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And then drain him. And then Burke is hitchhiking. And two ladies pick up him. And he's like, you know, flirting with them. And, you know, like, oh, hey, you're all cute. No, you're cute too. And he's like, hey, let's go head somewhere quiet. And then he presumably just drains them of blood.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun to see, like, how the different people went about gaining their sustenance. It's almost like the predator types from Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition.
Weird.
Yeah, that just in case anyone has, you know, hasn't thought about this, there is a lot of DNA from this movie in Vampire the Masquerade earlier editions, and also the predator types were introduced till 5th, but you know, there's a lot of DNA from this movie in some role-playing games that I really enjoy.
And our protagonist still hasn't popped his murder cherry.
Murderly Erdler cherry, I believe is what you mean, Chris.
Probably. And Bishop says, look, this is the last chance. You do the do, or you're out of the club. And by out of the club, I mean we're going to kill you.
Well, Chris, you did do the do during SHPCon, so we don't have to kill you.
I did, repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you did.
It was dark, but... and I couldn't find the actual beer.
Did you have one of the watermelon ones? Because I think I only have 3 watermelon cans, which means someone drank one of the watermelon ones.
That was the one that tasted bad, I assume.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The one that was
the
okay.
The live wire wasn't bad.
The
Baja Blast is pretty good.
Yeah, the blue ones are pretty good.
Yeah, and the regular ones just taste like regular Mountain Dew. But yeah, the watermelon ones are not tasty.
Not a huge
not
fan.
A fan. I have 3 of them left in my fridge, and if I can't find anyone else to drink them, I will, but they're going to be down the list a ways.
Yeah, I don't recommend drinking a bunch of hard Mountain Dew and following it up with a grapefruit Goza.
Passion fruit Goza.
Oh, passion fruit. Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah, that's a very sour.
Yeah.
Because Gozas are sour to begin with, and then you add passion fruit, which is also very sour, to it. It gets extra sour. And I like it, and I can understand why other people do not.
It probably would have been fine to start with. Bad to end with.
Okay. Or you could just, be smart and not drink anything like some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not smart.
Nope.
We're Slaughterhouse Princess.
The preceding 400 some odd episodes.
Yeah.
So they end up at a bar.
Yes. Oh, the bar scene's so good.
Yeah.
And there's like the bartender.
Yeah, there's bartender.
There is a pool table with a couple of presumable farmhands playing pool.
Yeah.
Like it is, I mean, it's not a honky tonk, but it is, it could be.
It is local bar in small town.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has a vibe if you've never been to one of those places.
Especially it's a small local bar in the middle of nowhere, Texarkana, Oklahoma.
Yeah. And Burke decides to be a giant asshole.
He's going to have some fun, Chris. It's, like if you were like 300 years old, you'd want to, it takes a little bit more to move the fun meter than just playing Parcheesi.
He's playing with his food. It's just rude.
Yeah. I mean, it's like cats, like my wife had a cat who caught a mouse and like just had its paw on its tail. And the mouse is like scrabbling, trying to get any kind of purchase on like the tile or wood or whatever it was on. And then the cat would like let its paw for just a second and the mouse would take off. And then the cat would like, bam, slam its paw back down on the mouse's tail and catch it again. And it would just be scrabbling. And you're just, So he was a cat.
Yeah. He picks on one of the farmhand guys specifically.
Yeah, because I mean, it's Bill Paxton. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger looking dude. He is just like regular, like dad bod looking dude. And this farmhand is probably like in his late 20s, early 30s, been throwing bales of hay for the last 15 years. And, it's just like, okay, buddy. You want to rumble? We can rumble, but like you're not going to come out of this on the good end until Bill Paxton unleashes his vampire strength upon him.
Yeah, well, first the bartender tells him there's 2 ways to leave. On your feet or on your back.
Yep.
Which either means he's going to fight him or he's going to have sex with him. I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, I think either he's going to like be unconscious or he'll walk out of his own power. If he left on his hands and knees, I would think more maybe the fuck him. But not that you can't on your back. I mean, it happens, I guess. Got to do it Amazon style.
That's what the kids are into.
Apparently. I just found out about this like a week ago.
Yeah. Got a website for you.
I chopped off my boob.com. so I could shoot a slash, so I could shoot a bow better.
Yeah. I guess that's true. That would get in the way.
I mean, I don't think that actually is a concern, but, you know, we have sports bras these days, Chris.
I mean, maybe you do.
You have to unleash the uniboob upon them.
So they get into a scrap.
And Burke comes out on the better end of it due to undead strength.
Well, Burke uses Protagonist as a shield. He's like, hey, I've tried to teach this guy something. Why don't you hit him real quick?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And the guy's like, okay. So he hits him.
Hey, well, punch a dude, I'll punch a dude. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so he gives him a couple of solid ones. And then Protagonist gives him one in return and knocks him across the bar into the pool table.
Yeah, because Protagonist realized, hey, that didn't actually hurt as much as I expected it to. Maybe this isn't so bad. And then he punches the guy and's like, oh, shit. I'm way stronger than I thought I was.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at the booth, the rest of a team supposed vampire. Yeah, I'm not going to whisper because the thing cuts it off.
Does it?
Yeah, okay, you have like half of it. You get half of that in there. It'll be fine.
Oh, man. Fucking Discord. I'm not even a woman and it's censoring me. No, like, that's true. Like, there's one of the podcasts I listen to, or apropos of nothing. Sometimes they have to record remotely, and Jenna, the only woman on the podcast, gets, like, noise canceled way more than the dudes do. Like, a significant amount more. So, definitely. I would... Yeah, so that was why that joke was made.
You gotta project.
Technology is misogynistic. I just want everyone to know.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
Yeah. Also, Chris, you're recording directly from your mic, so if you whisper it, the whole thing will get picked up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you're not recording the Discord, you're recording your audio.
Yeah. I guess maybe. I don't actually know. I don't know how all this shit works.
Try it.
Vampire. I'll be damned.
You're right. It does kind of kill the RE at the end.
Yeah, like it cuts off the last like syllable.
It's like you're a vampire.
It's so weird.
But I'm pretty sure that will come through on the podcast. Listeners, go to our Discord at discord.sarspensis.com and let Chris know if you could hear his entire whispered word.
Yeah. There's a 50-50 chance I'll know what you're talking about.
I mean, it's no rule 34 golem, but it's fine.
I heard all the vampire. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. it's one of the daughters of Cacophony who practiced the discipline of Melpomene.
Duh.
Yeah, that is a... medium Vampire the Masquerade cut. I don't say deep cut, but it's not a common bloodline.
I mean, one could argue that any Vampire the Masquerade cut is deep, but
not to me, Chris.
Fair enough.
It's all common knowledge to me.
Anyway, where are we? Bar
punch. He's done like the 1-inch punch to the guy's chest.
Yeah. The remaining squad is at a booth.
Yeah, they order a waitress. I mean, a beer.
Yeah.
And then they end up like draining her. I think they like break something, like break a glass, and then like shank her neck with it, and then they all just like drink the blood that's coming out of it.
Yeah, like you do.
You're welcome, Anna.
And now we're just down to two guys. Well, the bartender
who was like trying to find his shotgun and load it surreptitiously.
Yeah, seems like you should have that loaded. If I was a bartender, that shit would be loaded.
Yeah, but if the cops come in and want to look behind the bar, it's probably best not to have it loaded.
I feel like the bar this is, the cops know he has a loaded gun.
That's fair. At least it wasn't broken down lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah. And he's got the classic double barrel.
Yep. Where you have to, you know, it's like you squeeze the one trigger and then there's a second trigger to fire the other barrel.
Yeah.
Who was talking about? Was that at the... Someone I was talking to was joking about how like they like to give people like an over and under because when they fire the first one, it causes... Oh, never mind. That was a conversation I had on Wednesday. So never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, just someone who liked to give people like double-barreled shotguns. And then when they fire, they pull the first trigger, like the kick like surprises them and they accidentally fire off the second barrel because they squeeze again.
That is pretty funny.
So. I mean, he used to do like ordnance handling in the Marines, so he has a different version of humor than most people. Also, he doesn't understand how canoes work, but that's a whole different conversation.
Boy, does that make my head fill with questions? I mean,
he thinks you steer from the front.
Why would you think that?
I don't know, because you control where the canoe points, but then again, he don't think he understands that from the back, you can make the front of the canoe move from side to side way more.
It's a boat. That's how boats work.
And he's a Marine, too. Do you think he would understand how boats work a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this new information about this guy I don't know.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I just don't get him in the water, I guess.
I want to put him in a canoe, and I'll sit in the back, and I'll make it go wherever I want it to, and he can try to make it go wherever he wants to, and we'll see who wins.
Madness.
Yeah. Well, the canoe fight. Not like picking up canoes and hitting each other with them. No, no, just like fighting over who controls where it goes. Like the lowest stake possible contest.
Yeah. Nobody wins is the thing.
No. I'm just imagining like someone watching two guys just try to paddle a canoe as hard as they fucking can to make it go where they want. Against each other. And just go straight. Like one guy wants to go left, one guy wants to go right, but it just goes straight.
Yeah. People just sitting on the bank going, what do you think those guys are doing?
Oh, fuck. Like, that's the most aggressive canoeing I've ever seen.
A whole lot of yelling for them going straight.
So anyway, we were talking about Creatures of the Night.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Tasty Blood Desserts Vampire.
It really doesn't like the last bit.
Yeah, so they're vampires, you know, tasty blood desserts.
Delicious vampires. Try a Hostess vampire.
Yeah. It's like a Twinkie, only bloodier.
Gross. So they're, we're down to
fighting
the barkeep.
The barkeep, and I think the guy, the farmhand. There's like one farmhand who's still standing, one farmhand who got like punched back onto the pool table, and yeah. The bartender
shoots protagonist, and he's just like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, I got, oh, that stings a little.
And
Burke
takes out the bartender.
Yeah, Burke's like, hey man, isn't that fucking cool? And hey, watch this. And then he takes out the bartender.
Yeah. He also takes out some biker guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Steals his sunglasses.
It was game over for the biker guy.
Game over, man. The love interest saunters up to the remaining guy and is all like, dance with me. And I'm like, really, dude? You're going to let your fucking small head steer you in this instance? Because...
Well, that's because she's a toreador and using the discipline of presence upon him.
Is that another mid-cut, or how are we qualifying?
I mean, no, that's a common... Okay, that's like, if you've read the core book for Vampire the Masquerade, you would have that information.
Okay, I'm just for the listeners, not me.
That's a shallow Vampire the Masquerade cut.
Hey, I read Werewolf the Apocalypse source books, okay? That's some obscure nonsense nobody liked.
It was the third most popular White Wolf game. Vampire was way the most popular, then Mage and Werewolf kind of bopped up and down against each other. Sometimes Werewolf sold better, sometimes Mage did.
Yeah.
Mage was the best game, but it's also like the hardest to fucking wrap your head around. I don't blame anyone for being Mage though Ascension going, what the ever living fuck?
Fair.
Yeah.
Check out our new podcast about White Wolf games.
Oh, I wish. Dude, you would make me so happy if we started one of those.
It's our Patreon stretch goal.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. I need like 1,000 Patreon backers. If we get 1,000 Patreon backers, I'm pretty sure we can convince Chris to start the White Wolf role-playing game podcast. White Wolf Princess.
Yeah, definitely. I will sign off on that because that is not ever going to happen.
Oh, 100%. That's why I said that at 1,000.
Yeah, I will definitely agree to that. Because
I love being disappointed.
Well, good. It explains why you stuck around.
Yep, that's why I'm here now. Also, I love disappointing people.
It's your masochist and a sadist.
Hi, honey. Yeah. So she's dancing with the guy. Because he's like, oh, hey, yeah. Cute lady wants to dance with me at a bar, and I've had alcohol.
Yeah, don't worry about the fact that several people were just killed.
Right. One could even say they were murderedly urdlered.
One could.
But you can't.
I won't more. I did it once and I regret it.
You're welcome, Anna. Yeah. Also, I'm just now noticing how much I burp into the podcast since Anna mentioned it once.
The trick is to not pay attention.
Yeah, there's one good one in the last episode, though, that I think Horse Santa unleashed upon us.
Who could say what happened on that one?
I don't think anyone knows what happened on that. That was it's a chaotic nonsense that I found very enjoyable, and I hope other people did too.
And the dance is interrupted when protagonist has to get the guy, but he fucks it up.
And how does he do that?
He lets the guy escape. He jumps through a window and runs off.
Yeah, because he refuses to just, you know, bite the guy and drain him of blood, despite being a tasty undead dessert. A vampire.
But it's almost sunup. Apparently the bar was open until like fucking 5:45 or something.
Yeah, apparently in Oklahoma or Texas, wherever the fuck they were, because they like went into Texas. If I remember right, they drove south.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Apparently, bars just don't close.
So they have to scramble into the van that they're covering with tinfoil and whatnot. They head to a motel where they get a bungalow.
A hotel motel?
A Holiday Inn. The guy recognizes
Bishop
from
he's earlier. Like, you look real familiar. Like, were you here like 15 years ago or whatever? Like 30? Basically the guy's like, you look like a dude I knew from like years and years and years ago, even though you apparently haven't aged a day.
Yeah, and he's all, yeah, I stop in every 50 years. Wah, wah, wah. So they post up in the bungalow. They're turning in for the night. They're very upset.
It is a motel, though, Chris, because the door is open to the outside.
It's true.
Is that what we determined at the SHP con?
Yes. They open to the outside. Hotels open to the inside.
That I did not realize. That is literally the first time I knew that. It was a week ago.
Really?
Yeah. A week ago, I learned. I never knew the difference between a hotel. I was like, why is this called a hotel? Why is that called a motel? I don't know. It's just, they're like places people stay. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah. And knowing is half the battle.
Sometimes.
That's what I hear, at least.
They're posted up. Everybody's mad on account of the guy got away, and he's definitely going to go to the law. And true enough, he went to the law immediately.
One could say he broke the masquerade.
He's not a blood pie, so I don't know if that counts.
Well, I mean, the Nathan Petrelli did.
Okay. Fair enough. And sure enough, John Law shows up. Crazy shootout ensues.
Yeah, with like holes being shot in doors and windows and walls, and like beams of light like frying people inside the room.
And protagonist says that he's going to go snag the van, and they're all like, whatever, idiot.
And he does the spike. If you've watched Vampire the Masquerade, or not Vampire the Masquerade, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, he does, like, the spike, I throw a blanket over my head and I run around in the daylight trick.
Yeah.
It's so goofy, but I love it so much.
And he gets the van, runs it through a wall. Everybody loads up, runs it through a second wall. He parks
the van inside the motel room.
Yep. And then runs it through a second wall into a cop car.
Yeah.
And they escape.
Off into the daylight.
Yeah.
And then they start like spray painting the windows with like whatever they have. Like they start like, you know, like trying to black out the windows with whatever they have on hand. And apparently one of those things is spray paint.
I mean, I imagine in their line of work, that's something you just have.
I've never thought of doing that as a vampire, but if I ever play Vampire the Masquerade again, I will definitely like have cans of spray paint on my character sheet.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it works on, you know, cameras, like surveillance cameras, Ring doorbells, windows of cars that you don't want sun to shine through. It's great. It's multi-purpose.
Yeah. They end up at a second motel where they now have decided the protagonist is all right.
Yeah, because he saved their asses.
And the littlest vampire.
Homer, I think is his actual character name.
Actual character name.
Yeah, it's weird.
He heads out to the soda machine.
Oh, the pop machine.
He gets himself a pop. And meets up with a young lady around his like physical age, but not like
right. I think it was kind of nice to have like a quote unquote human interaction with someone, and even though they happen to be like 10 or 12 instead of like whatever his actual age is.
Yeah, I imagine in their circles, you don't run into a lot of kids.
No, and also no one has a real adult interaction with you because you look like a fucking kid.
Yeah. And he invites her back to watch color TV because that was a distinction. What
actual color?
You could make, I guess, in 1987 still.
87, I think everyone had color at that point. But I think to him it was neat because he didn't have color TV for quite a while, I'm sure.
Yeah. So they head back and everybody's like, oh, God damn it.
But then Nathan Petrelli realized, that's my sister.
Yeah.
You creep.
And then his dad also shows up, and he's like, what the fuck is going on around here?
And then Nathan Petrello is like, hey, that's my dad.
Yeah. And everybody's just like, really? What are the fucking odds? Like, seriously?
I mean, it's a movie. Shit like that's going to happen.
I mean, Bishop does totally do like an eye roll. Like, seriously? Like,
for fuck's sake. Yeah. Like, he has the for fuck's sake look.
It's a weird, like, fourth wall break kind of a thing.
I know people complain about weird stuff like that, but, like, imagine the movie where that didn't happen. It's much more boring, so I'm okay with this happening.
Yeah. So, Homer really wants the kid. Protagonist is like, nah, man, you can't have my sister. Like, come the fuck on with it.
Yeah, like, yeah, get off my sister.
And dad pulls a gun. Bishop's like, fucking, seriously, dude?
Yeah, like, come on, like, why are we doing this right now?
Yeah, he shoots him, and Bishop's like, nah, like.
Yeah, see, look, you just shot me, nothing happened, things are gonna go real bad for you now.
They do manage to escape somehow. I don't recall.
I think somehow Nathan Petrelli manages to get them out of there.
Yeah.
But that's all I know.
And they go back to the farm where his dad.
Which is not a euphemism.
No.
No.
And his dad, gives him a, like, complete blood transfusion?
Yeah, because his dad's a vet. And so somehow if you do some kind of blood transfusion to a undead pastry, a vampire, like, somehow that cures you?
I'm more alarmed at the fact that dude just had, like, what is it, like, 8 quarts of human blood just chilling?
I mean, the implication was that somehow he failed them himself, even though, like, that would have killed him to transmit that much blood to his son.
Yeah, because, like, it would have been all of it.
Yeah, it would have been his entire body's worth of blood, minus, like, maybe a pint or two from his that he stores in his spleen.
And, I mean, it might be something people don't know about me, but I'm not a doctor. But I'm pretty sure you can't just get rid of all your blood and be, like, totally cool.
Yeah, I think there is a requirement for your body to function where it needs blood.
Yeah. But the important thing is that the transfusion was successful and he's no longer a delicious blood pie.
Yes. Or blood drinking pie.
That's somehow weirder.
Yeah, like, it just pies, like, trying to drink your blood. Like, watch out, those fucking cherry pies are the worst.
Dale Cooper would disagree.
Well, they didn't try to drink his blood now, did they? Speaking of that, I love him in Fallout.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He's only in, like, a couple episodes of the first 6, but he's still good.
He's still got it.
Yeah. I give him a thumbs up.
Good. So, some amount of time has passed. And he meets back up, protagonist meets back up with love interest.
Yeah, because, like, fucking the roving band of blood drinkers is looking for him.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you're all, like, not like us anymore and stuff. And he's all like, yeah.
Yeah, we can fix you by just taking away all of your blood and putting in new blood.
Yeah, don't worry. We have a lot of it for some reason at this farm. A lot of human blood.
Yeah, we get it from the cows.
Yeah, they're full of human blood. Don't ask. And they meet up, but this also gives away their position. So they steal the sister again.
Yep.
The dad just kind of fucks off, I think. Like, I don't remember him being anywhere anymore. Did they kill the dad?
He has no blood. He's got to recover.
That's fair. He did give away more blood than he had somehow. Gave away 112% of his blood, which doesn't seem good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The math doesn't work out, but whatever. It's narrative.
So they steal the sister again. Specifically,
Bert. Either to turn her for the alleged 12-year-old vampire, or just to fuck with Nathan Petrelli.
Yeah, to fuck with him, draw him out, one of the two.
Yeah. I don't remember. I watched this like 3 weeks ago.
I watched it today and don't remember, which is, you know, kind of my thing.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
So he gets, protagonist gets into it with Burke. They have a semi fight, like a fight on a semi, not a fight with semis.
Yeah, which either one I'm okay with.
Yeah. Burke gets exploded.
Yeah, he gets real burnt up.
They take off with sister. And they're heading back home, but then they get caught with the rest of the squad.
Yeah, then fucking Bishop and Vasquez are in a car driving, and they're gonna try to run down.
Well, so first Homer gets out of the car and is running to the little sister.
He's like, if I can't be with this 12-year-old, I don't want to live.
Yeah.
Which, fair. Like, dude, just fucking die at that point, please.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone who says that, you don't deserve to be there.
Yeah. And turns out that not only do they catch on fire in the sun, but they actually, like, explode.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah. Love interest joins them. And it's covered with a jacket, so she's fine. That's how the sun works. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the whole Joss Whedon vampire thing. As long as it's not direct sunlight, you're fine.
Joss Whedon is a hack.
He is a sex pest. I don't know about a hack.
He's a hack.
I enjoy a lot of his work. I don't think he's a good person.
I will die on that hill.
That's fair.
Movies aren't art. Joss Whedon is a hack. Work.
I'm okay with you disliking his work. I have no fucking vested interest as to if people like his work or not.
And this is when they card up.
Yeah, so this is when Bishop and Vasquez get in a car and they're gonna drive over the team protagonist, but for some reason, some holes, like, do they get, like, does the windows get shot up or something? Like, the sun comes up or whatever. And it's just this, like, slow-mo, like, it's like a fucking, to be topical or tropical, as Horstlanta would say, it's like the O.J. Simpson, like, fucking slow-speed chase as they kind of roll towards team protagonist, and they kind of just burst into flames from the sun as they are slowly rolling towards team protagonist, and then they kind of just roll off to the side of the road because they're both dead from the sun, and then it explodes because vampires like explode in the sun, and it's like the least exciting way to take out that threat.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little underwhelmed by that.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but they did blow up real good.
Yes, the explosion was nice, but everything that led up to it was just a slow descent into slowness.
And then,
which is not what you want in a movie.
Yeah, you don't want your climax to be the arguably slowest sequence of the film normally. And then they take a... protagonist takes love interest back to the blood shack.
Baby blood shack.
Yeah.
Tin roof. Bloody.
And he gives her a blood transfusion because, again, they have an irresponsible amount of human blood lying around.
He thought he gets paid. The vet's like, oh, you don't have cash to pay me? I'll take a pint of your blood, please.
In Oklahoma in 1987, they didn't have money. They had human blood.
I mean, I wonder, like, if the price of iron got high enough, would it actually pay to sell your blood and harvest, like, have someone harvest the iron from it?
Oh, that is fucking grim, dude. Yikes.
Yeah, I've been watching too much Fallout, folks.
I'm still trying to be okay with the fact that that's a thing you said. I mean, maybe, I guess.
How high does the price of iron have to be for you to be, like, worth more for blood generation than, like, you know, doing actual work?
I find the demand to be the alarming part. What is causing this demand?
We have ships just plowing into bridges out here, Chris. Do you don't remember that?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
How else are we going to create the Steel Brotherhood? Or Brotherhood of Steel?
Magic.
Chris is like, yeah, I had nothing.
I got nothing.
And so the day is saved?
Yep. He makes her not a vampire. She said she's scared of the sun, and then freeze frame.
Freeze frame.
Like, seriously, it's a super weird last shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Breakfast Club ending, but
I'm scared of the sun. Freeze. Yeah. And that's
so,
done. Been.
Yeah, so Chris, what did you think of this movie?
I mean, it's okay. She's real slow, this one. Like, I like the... I think this is a good example of I like the ideas of this better than the execution. I think part of it is just that this idea is executed better later. Like, I like the roving gang thing. The bar scene is super fun. It's pretty much... That's worth the price of admission, is the bar scene. If the whole movie felt more like the bar scene, I think it would be more fun overall, but I mean, it's good. Like, it's technically confident. It's just kind of slow. I don't know. I'm still torn on how, if I like it enough to say watch it or not. I would say watch it. I think there's enough here that's like foundational and stuff that comes afterwards, which we had discussed in the green room, as it were.
Yeah, off recording, but or off podcast, but probably still recorded.
Yeah,
during the warm up, if you will.
I mean, it's got some fun sequences in it for sure, and it's a good cast. I mean, you can't go wrong with the people that are in it. And it's not a traditional vampire thing, which I always appreciate, non-traditional vampire media, where it's not just, you know, fucking Count Dracula shit or whatever. I guess it's in the Criterion Collection, so you should probably watch it if you want to be some kind of art snob or whatever.
If only movies were art.
I know, I've been banging that drum
for like weeks now.
Yeah. I don't know how to not double down.
Yeah, Chris always uses two pieces of fried chicken as his buns.
Yeah. I will yes and myself into the most unpleasant situations.
Like eating Brett's buns.
We all did.
Yeah, we did.
What do you think, Troy?
Yeah, like, it's so slow. Like, if someone, like, if this was a new movie and someone threw it on, I'd be like, man, this movie's real slow. I don't understand why this is so slow. Like, can we, like, this is not a good movie. However, given when it came out. It's kind of like, it feels like the bridge between, like, as you were saying, like traditional vampire movies with like Dracula and whatever, and what we would consider a modern vampire movie now. Like Interview with a Vampire, I feel like owes a lot to this movie. For various things. Lost Boys a little less. But I feel like if you smash Lost Boys and this together, you basically have what anybody would call a modern vampire movie. You know, 30, 40 years later. So, I mean, on that level, I enjoy it. I enjoy it as a historical record. I don't know if I enjoy it as a movie. So, I'm torn on it. I mean, I'd say watch it and then go play Vampire the Masquerade. Maybe that's what I'll say. That's the qualification I'll give it. Watch this, then play Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, it's the eating your vegetables of vampire movies.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's necessary watching, but it's not necessarily the most enjoyable watching. But speaking of watching things, Chris, what are we watching next week?
We are watching The Mothers.
As suggested to us by Matt.
Yes.
Who you was on the previous episode of this podcast.
Yeah, he was the different white guy you heard.
Yeah, he can be found on the Horror Show Hot Dog podcast on your favorite podcatcher.
So what if other people would like to whatever?
Well, they can go to slarishprincess.com where we have links to various places on how to listen to us. And also how to contact us, the best way to contact us is on Discord. You go to discord.slargeprincess.com and talk to us there. We're also on Facebook. I think if you sent a message there, I probably would get it, maybe. Otherwise, yeah, just support if you want to. You can support us financially at store or patreon.sargeprincess.com. And you can either buy merch or pledge to our Patreon. And if you are the 1,000th Patreon member, you will be the one who causes us to create a new podcast.
Yeah.
Which will never happen. So we're safe.
So come back next time for The Mothers.
And while their podcasts think about movies, we will drink about movies.
Bye. That's like a pecker of his work.